This is Uprising. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. Recent Senate hearings on a planned merger between Comcast and Time Warner have raised the ire of Senator Al Franken, who has called it a disaster. Franken's opposition to the fusing of two telecommunications giants is based on his assertion that there lies no upside for consumers if the $45 billion deal goes through. But Comcast executives say customers will only benefit from the deal through increased internet speeds and that, in fact, rates would not rise. The authority to approve the deal lies with the Federal Communications Commission and the Department of Justice. Comcast executives have made heavy campaign contributions to the Democratic Party. Joining me on the phone is Craig Aaron, president and CEO of Free Press, the nation's leading media reform organization. Welcome to Uprising, Craig.
Hi, Sonali. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, Franken is not alone in his criticism among the public and among groups like yours, but it seems as though in Congress, he's one of just a handful of lawmakers who is upset about this deal. First, let's lay out the history of Comcast and the way in which it sort of gobbled up one company after another. Franken said, this is the number one cable TV company buying the number two, and this is the number one internet broadband company buying the number three. Is that an accurate assessment of this?
That's absolutely right. This is a massive deal, a $45 billion deal that would make Comcast already a giant media company in this country, really unstoppable. They would be the dominant cable provider for two-thirds of the country. By the time they were done, they're already the biggest internet service provider. This would give them just a huge footprint, really establish Comcast as the company dictating so much of the future of our media, the future of the internet. All roads would go through them, whether you want to get on cable TV, whether you want to start an internet business. Comcast would have a huge say in that if they can get this deal done.
What is the history of Comcast in how it has become as big as it is today?
Well, this is a company that started out as a regional cable operator and has been swallowing up and gobbling up other cable companies for decades now. But in recent years, they've become much, much more aggressive. And as you know, antitrust law was really hollowed out, as for far too long the FCC and the Department of Justice, for that matter, looked the other way. As the cable market became completely uncompetitive, Comcast has taken advantage of that and been able to absorb a number of other big cable companies. And, of course, most recently and notably, became a true national and international player when they took over NBC Universal. So not only are they the biggest cable company in the country, the biggest internet service provider in the country, but they also own a major network, dozens of local television stations, and dozens of major cable channels as well.
What about Time Warner? Time Warner, the name itself, suggests that it once upon a time used to be at least two companies.
Well, that's right. Time Warner, another big company. Interestingly, you know, Time Warner was a company that was part of a disastrous merger of its own, the merger with AOL, which was bad for the public and bad for shareholders in the end. That company was ultimately split up. So Time Warner Cable is now just the cable company that used to be part of the Time Warner empire, which isn't to imply that it's a small company. This is the nation's number two cable company, of course, the dominant cable company in Los Angeles, as well as New York City and many, many other markets, and a huge internet service provider in its own right. So you are talking about one giant trying to take over another and really become the cable company, the internet service provider, for the vast majority of the country. And in fact, for about 4 in 10 Americans, this new giant Comcast would be the only option when it came to high-speed broadband internet service.
Okay, so let's talk about the assertions that Comcast executives, and I should say Time Warner executives, didn't really want to say much. But what Comcast executives...
They're just trying to get their check.
Right.
Tens of millions of dollars individually if this deal goes through.
So it's really interesting to see how they're sort of keeping mum. But Comcast executives were essentially hauled in front of the Senate. Al Franken was one of the very few who actually spoke up and grilled them. And their assertion was, don't worry, this will just lead to increased internet speeds and no increases in rates. How do you tear that apart?
Well, you have to, in terms of rates, you have to look at the wording of their answer very carefully. because they're trying to walk a very careful line to say that there's nothing in this deal specifically that would cause rates to be raised. And that's because Comcast has admitted that there's also nothing in this deal that would make rates go down. The experience of consumers is that cable prices only tend to go one way, up and up some more. And in fact, on the day the merger was announced, David Cohen, the top lobbyist for Comcast, admitted that there was nothing in the deal that would lead to lower rates or that would slow the rapid increase in cable rates that customers have experienced. So now they found some other words to try to say, well, there's not anything necessarily that would make them go up, just we know they always go up. Even in a recession, no matter if there's even a little bit of competition from a phone company, rates go up and up some more. And this is a deal that undoubtedly that will continue and get worse because Comcast simply won't face any competition. And there is no reason for them to lower the rates. Frankly, no reason for them to improve their customer service once this deal is done, because there won't be anywhere for the average customer to turn. There won't be another option when it comes to high-speed internet service, when it comes to cable television. And Comcast is well aware of that. Now, they're just about willing to promise anything to get this deal done, because they know on the other side they will absolutely be in control. So,
I mean, this is the definition of a monopoly.
Well, absolutely. And that's the real danger here. And the thing is that our regulators have been looking the other way for so long that we've reached a point where there is very little competition in individual markets. So right now in Los Angeles, you want to get cable television, you get Time Warner Cable. If you're in Philadelphia, you get Comcast.
Right.
They're really the only game in town. And they're trying to take advantage of that to claim it wouldn't change the experience for customers. But of course, when you look at the national market, when you look at their control over programming, over internet access, over so much, they are absolutely becoming the kind of monopoly, or what's known as a monopsony, where basically they can dictate the terms of the market for all those participating. That's the future Comcast sees. They realize if they can get this deal done now, everybody has to go through them. You want to have a cable channel? You have to talk to Comcast.
Well,
you want to start a new internet business? Comcast. Every single stop starts with Comcast, whatever you want to do online. And that's what they're trying to do. That's the business model they think they can exploit to make the most money.
Let's talk about how little other members of Congress have held held a magnifying glass to this possible merger. One journalist reported that Senator Lindsey Graham spent most of his time at the hearing recently where Comcast executives spoke. He complained about his personal experiences as a DirecTV consumer during bad weather and directly questioned Comcast VP David Cohen about switching to Comcast. The journalist said, "I am not making this up." Literally, that's what the journalist wrote. I mean, who besides Franken is opposing this in Congress? And also, what about the White House?
Well, certainly Al Franken has been the most outspoken opponent, but there are others. Maxine Waters out there in Los Angeles has been an outspoken critic of past Comcast mergers. I think there are more critics beginning to emerge, but you do have to understand when it comes to Congress, this is the problem. Comcast is a huge player in the influence game.
Right.
They spend a lot of money on Washington. They hire hundreds of lobbyists, essentially between them and their trade associations. Every member of Congress gets a personal lobbyist. See to their needs. I'm sure they'll be happy to help Senator Graham make the switch, if indeed Comcast or when Comcast serves his neighborhood. And so a lot of members of Congress are being very cautious about what they say. And that's another big danger of this deal, is if it goes through, an already powerful company will become even more influential and essentially will be the cable company and the news operation for most members of Congress. That is way too much power and way too few hands.
Well, in terms of the White House influence on the White House, The Hill reports that Comcast CEO Brian Roberts has donated $76,000 to Democrats since 2006, compared to $13,500 to Republicans. He golfed with Obama on Martha's Vineyard and served on the President's Jobs Council and appeared at a number of White House meetings on business and technology. Has Obama said anything about this deal?
Obama has not said anything about this deal, but this is a company that is very, very close to the Obama White House. And that is why they are proposing such an audacious deal right now, is because they think they can get it done based on those relationships. Brian Roberts, very close to President Obama. David Cohen, the top lobbyist for Comcast, was a guest at the state dinner with the French president, has held several fundraisers for Obama at his home. And when I say fundraisers for Obama, I mean fundraisers that Obama was at.
Wow.
In his home. These are very well connected. David Cohen was the former chief of staff for Governor Ed Rendell of Pennsylvania. Very, very connected to the Democratic Party. And at its core, whether or not this deal gets done, the Justice Department will apply a certain screen based on the antitrust law. The FCC is supposed to look at it to decide whether it is in the public interest. I think that's going to be a very difficult case for them to make, but ultimately it is going to be a political fight. It's going to be the question of, can Comcast's influence get this deal done, or can the fact that already a majority of Americans who are just finding out about this deal are strongly opposed to it stop it? And this is going to be a big test for the Obama administration. There's some reason to think maybe they'll stand up to them. They stopped the AT&T T-Mobile merger.
Right.
That was a clearer case at the Justice Department, but the Obama administration did do that, which I don't think the previous administration would have stopped it. This will be the real test, though. This is a much bigger deal and very much landing right at the White House's doorstep. I mean, these quote-unquote independent agencies will look at it, but it's that political environment that's going to dictate whether or not this deal gets done.
Now, for listeners who might wonder, all right, so if we have one cable company, what's the big deal? Honestly, is it just a matter of choosing between one of your favorite programs versus another? Fewer TV choices, maybe some rates go up. People who can't afford cable to begin with shouldn't, you know, I might say, well, I couldn't care less. How does this impact, what would the ripple effect be on democracy for this? And is that overstating it?
Pronged effect, because number one, it is going to hit you in the wallet. That monthly bill is going to go up and keep going up. And you know,
but cable is not a necessity, right? It's not food and water and electricity.
Well, it's right next to it, I guess. You know, not cable television, but certainly internet access. You know, it might not be up there with electricity or food or water, but it's getting pretty close to being right up there with hot water, you know, as something that you really would like to have.
Right.
Because if you're going to actually participate in society, if you're going to get a job, if you're going to be able to have access to any kind of services, all of that is going online. If you're going to actually participate in this democracy, be informed, then you have to have access to news and information. And, of course, increasingly that is online. You know, we're very lucky to have radio stations like this one that are still telling you what's going on, but that's getting harder and harder to do.
Right. A lot of our news and media is now created by independent creators online. That could be in jeopardy.
Absolutely. The Comcast is a company that has already been caught interfering with lawful internet traffic, blocking people's access to file sharing. This is a company that believes in the cable television model, where they pick and choose the channels for you, where they decide who gets the best sites and services. That is their vision for the future of the internet, and it is not one where there is any choice or competition. So even if, you know, Comcast is already your cable company or Time Warner is your cable company, it is still problematic for the larger impact on the media ecosystem. Remember, this is the company that owns MSNBC, that owns NBC News, CNBC, so many of the channels, employ so many of the journalists, and giving them this much power, not only over the news we get, but how we get it, is simply too much, and I think very dangerous to our democracy. And furthermore, I think giving a company like Comcast this much power in Washington, where they're really in a position, if they can get this deal done, to dictate any debate over the future of the media. You know, what kind of supports are we going to provide for independent journalism? What does the free and open internet look like? Comcast has a much different vision for that than most of us, and they're going to be in a position of incredible influence over decision makers. So I think that's one reason to be very, very worried about this merger that goes even beyond your monthly cable bill.
So finally, Craig, what recourse do ordinary people have who might be alarmed about this prospect? Comcast and Time Warner would like nothing more than for this deal to quietly go through. And as you've mentioned, it's a political climate that matters here. President Obama is cozy with these folks, but could he change his mind, even though he hasn't really said anything about it, if he hears from enough people?
Well, I absolutely think so. We've seen it happen before. And that's the only thing that can derail these kind of deals is massive public opposition. So, and the people of Los Angeles in particular have a major stake in this because Time Warner Cable, if this deal is going to go through, that their franchise that they control there is going to have to be transferred. So local officials, the California Public Utilities Commission, are going to have a role to play here. But I think it's especially important that people contact their members of Congress, who are some of the only people who are going to actually be able to ask these executives questions face-to-face, who are going to be able to be heard in places like the Justice Department. And it is especially important that they contact the Federal Communications Commission, which soon is going to open a docket and open public comment on this deal. And they need to know that they need to hear from people who oppose this deal, and in very large numbers. That will be the difference between this merger getting approved and all these bad things happening, or the Obama administration actually doing the right thing and seeing that it's actually better for them to stop this kind of runaway media consolidation that's opposed by the vast majority of Americans.
Craig, it's always a pleasure to have you on. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. And also, by the way, thank you so much for supporting our campaign to televise this program.
Well, happy to be with you and excited to appear in the future on TV, although then I won't be able to do it from my basement. But sacrifice I'm willing to make.
Thank